Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
We're going to go to Joshua chapter 6. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. And then God's going to take us into this particular place. There is something God has been stirring up since. I want to invite you to start coming to prayer early. Get yourself fired up with everybody else. That'd be a good thing to do. Anyway, now Jericho was securely shut up because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. You shall march around the city, all men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. It shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, and then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord.
So it was, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that seven priests carrying seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them.
The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard after the ark, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Oh yeah. Verse 11 together. So he had the ark of the Lord circle around and the gate came to the camp and lodged in the camp. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I invoke the presence of God in a supernatural way right now. That, Lord, there's a shout that hasn't been heard from this body in a long time. There's a shout that hasn't been declared because many of us are waiting for something to happen before we'll shout. But Lord, I pray today that prophetically a shout would rise up in our hearts and our souls for those people who have yet to turn their lives to Jesus, for those who are in bondage, who feel like they can't get set loose, for all the things that we've been asking you for, that today we will give a shout of praise to you, and then the walls will come down and we will possess all the things you've said. God, I speak prophetically today that the walls that have hindered us from entering into our inheritance, they will be torn down, and we'll come in, we'll take all the things the enemy has kept from us, and we'll possess that in the name of the Lord. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today. We pray and thank you for all these things. In the name of Jesus, everybody shout amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. You can be seated. I don't know how long you get to stay there, but you can be seated. I'm going to go right into the three things we want to talk about. Number one, are you suffering in silent discontent as you walk around the walls that separate you from what you believe God has promised to give you? Some of you are in suffrage right now because it seems like that nothing's happening. And the word I put in silent discontent. Well, we'll talk about that in just a few moments. Let me get to number two. It says, has time lapsed between what you thought to be reasonable and what you believe is unbearable, collided and burst your reality bubble of patience? Some of you sitting here frustrated. Some of you are sitting here mad because God hasn't done it in your time frame. But I got news for you. He's been waiting on you to shout so he could bring it forth. When you don't see anything happening, when you see nothing changes, your faith will say, it's going to happen. And matter of fact, I'll start shouting right now. If you want to make the devil mad today, I dare you to raise your voice and say, God's going to do it. Doesn't matter what it looks like. God's got something in store. Let me take you to number three. Will you allow the Lord, the word of the Lord, to keep you going to victory by overtaking all the things that seem to have held you hostage? I'm going to ask a big question right now, and some of you will, if you all pristine and want to hold all your sanctification in place and you want to keep the fact of your spiritual decorum intact, you're not going to respond. But how many of you know right now that something's been holding you in bondage, but today you want to be set free? Wave your hand at me. See what I mean? And I want to tell you, if you believe that, by the time this service is over, God's going to set some people free in the house. Come on. Well, crossing over the Jordan to conquer, Joshua chapter 4, verses 19 through 24. I want to read these for you. It says, now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first day of the month, and they camped at Gilgal, east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Go to the next verse. Then you shall say to your children, let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. Let's stop right there. You need to tell somebody what God's already done. Some of you wait, well, when this happens, then I'll have, no, you need to testify today for what he's already done. The way the enemy keeps us, he keeps us in silent, kind of silent sulking. Well, I'll do it once I get everything I want. Any of you ever dealt with a spoiled child? I said, any of you haven't ever dealt with a spoiled child? They got an idea that, you know, the entitlement culture has taken over their spirit. And they're thinking, well, that's okay, but I'm waiting for all this other stuff to happen, then I'm going to be happy. I want you to get happy before the things you thought would make you happy have happened. Here we go. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did at the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God. Read that last word. Sometimes we forget to fear God. Sometimes we get crazy, and we so all of a sudden we just kind of get boldness type of thing. But I believe the fear of the God, fear of the Lord, is not the fact that we're just terrified, but we are reverencing him for who he is. You know, today God wants to do something so good and so great in us. But before you enter into the promised land, you must process the blessings that he has bestowed upon us in the wilderness. Through many dangers, toils have snares, I have already come, but grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. You need to remember he's brought you through dangers, toils, snares. Some of you don't even, it's a miracle you are here today. Because you had hit the self-destruct button and it was only God that didn't detonate it. Oh, Jesus. All the things that you worried about yesterday are far behind you now. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, forget about it. It's a new day. The wandering that we had spent without purpose is now coming into focus. Some of you walked through these doors this morning hoping I would give you focus and purpose, this type of thing. God gave it to you a long time ago. I'm here to tell you to reclaim what he told you he was going to do. Don't forget about what he told you in the darkness when you finally get to the light. So the fact is, our times of desperation have always been met by God's divine provision. Oh, my goodness. The stones that we carry from the Jordan will call to mind the things that we thought we would never make it through. Any survivors in the house? Come on, wave your hand. Are you a survivor? They didn't think you were going to make it, but you survived. But you know, I'm going to take you to another level. We're no longer survive. We're going to thrive. We're going to shift that focus from the survival mode to the thriving in the goodness of God mode. Well, we must allow the stones from the Jordan we crossed over to inspire our faith in those who are around us. The culture that we have right now is that we're kind of isolating ourselves. Even though we got social media that can connect with all these different people, it's really forced us into our own self-imposed isolationism. You need to tell somebody what God's doing in your life. And I don't mean on Facebook. I'm talking about face to face. I'm talking about eyeball to eyeball, just telling you, this is what God did for me. When there was no hope in my life, he took me, picked me up, turned me around, all those different things. You need to testify of the goodness of God in your life. The faithfulness of the Lord will keep us from moving, will keep us moving forward in spite of the things that would seem to be impossible. And this other little thought goes with it. It was only when the feet of the priest touched the water that it was pushed back. Oh, yeah. Dip. Put your foot in the water. Get your foot in the water and watch God move. Somebody receive that. Because that's what God's been telling you all along. Well, what about this? The worry that we had, that we have had, must be give way to the wonder of the works of God. That means all our worries must give way to the promises of the Word of God. Amen. Ever been lost? Ever not been lost? Have a map and the map isn't quite, you know, getting you there? You punched in the address and you didn't get where you thought you were gonna go? That lady behind that voice over there, she done lost her mind. Yes, you will. Oh, just punch it in, you'll get there. And you'll end up in Troutdale and you're headed for Beaver Creek. I said, turn left, recalculating, turn right. You know what I'm talking about. You have more belief in your GPS than you have in Jesus Christ himself. When God says go left, even though it doesn't look like it's right, you go left because he's taking you on a better route than what you had planned in the first place. Don't doubt what God has told you to do. You know, it seems like I'm going, that's a long way around. Don't you know God is sometimes taking you out of harm's way? Yes. Amen. Ever tried a shortcut that wasn't a shortcut? Yes. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. You had more traffic than if you'd stayed on the main thoroughfare. Woo, Jesus. We're going to get some testimonies here today. The defeats that we had suffered in our past are only reminders that he is still with us in spite of what we have done in times of faithlessness. I didn't say faithfulness. I said faithlessness. I hope we will learn, we will learn by our past mistakes. God is not judging you for your past mistakes. He's judging you in this particular hour now. Are you willing to listen? Don't let the devil beat you up with all the bad decisions that you made. Today is a new day. Well, we must be ready to face all our problems with the promise of God. Hebrews 12:1, here we go. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. I'm going to get to the sin in a minute. There are certain things that we have, that I have, that weigh me down. It's not a lot, so much an act of faithlessness, but I kind of allow them to take a place where faith should be lodged. And they kind of weigh you down. You just don't feel like you want to feel, or you're not able to process things like you should. And then he adds that to the equation. He says, lays aside every weight and the sin so easily ensnares us. The problem is our weights to become sin. You know why? Because we focus on them. God is going to tell us to change your focus. Because it will become sin, and sin becomes a distraction. And you know what a sin really is? Not believing what God told you. Okay, let me take you to the garden. Some of you don't believe that. God said this: of every tree you can eat in the garden except this one. Then here comes the serpent. Hath God really said that? You will not surely die. When you believe the devil instead of what God told you, sin is inevitable. I need to say that again for some folks that don't believe that. That's the source of sin. It's when you do not believe what God tells you. He set you up from success from the very beginning. Eat of all the trees in the garden that you want to, but don't eat from this one. And then the devil says, God didn't mean that. What are you going to listen to God for? You're not going to die. Okay, here's another one. How many of you have been lied to? The rest of you, I don't know what planet you live on. Straight up lie to you in eyeball to eyeball. No, and kids will tell you, oh, I ain't do nothing. I ain't touched it. I don't know where it is. There are things that will weigh us down that are not sinful. That's true. Ways that keep us from moving ahead are the things that we tether, that will tether us to our past. We call it caution. I call it disbelief. Well, I tried this before, it didn't work, so therefore I'm not going to get fooled by that again. Do not be tethered to your past experiences. This is a new day. You know, I think a word that I've used, maybe you use it too, are these three words: just in case. You need to delete those from your vocabulary, because you give God kind of an out. Just in case God doesn't come through, we're going to put this in place. It's kind of a safety net. There is no safety net with God. It's no just in case. It's because God has said, and we will do exactly what he told us to do. Well, moving on, it says, the word that he gave us is, I have given Jericho. But the exercise that we have to engage ourselves in is the things that will seem rudimentary, that will seem like they're mundane, the things that will seem like they don't really make any difference, but they really do. And we're going to move into that in just a moment. But let's consider these things. When we are facing our Jericho, we must believe his promise. The weapons of our warfare are powerful through God. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 through 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds in your life today? Yeah. Word of God will take them down. Here we go. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I don't know if you struggle with your thought life, but I struggle with mine at various times. And I'm not talking about so such decadent thoughts, but any thought that comes against what God told me to do is a thought that doesn't need to be there. So you don't have to have pornographic thoughts to be disobedient to God. So the case is this, that our ability is only limited by our faith. Philippians 4:13. What does that one say? Philippians 4:13. Here we go. I can do all things. Read that with me. I can. Now, what does all include? Now, if you're from the South, they say all. There's all and all. Doesn't matter. It means all things through Christ who strengthens me, who engages me into a place where we thought we'd be successful. And the third thing is this: victory is ongoing. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's something we'll accelerate in these next few moments. We must be willing to do things the way that God desires for them to be done. Now, Joshua chapter 6, verse 10 gives a description of what's good, what needs to happen. Here, listen to this. Now, Joshua commanded the people, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout." Oh, my goodness. That's a big order. We must have the discipline enough to obey the Lord when our impulses want to respond differently. Ever heard somebody say, "I just gotta say something"? No, you don't gotta. "I gotta give you a piece of my mind." No, you don't need a piece of your mind. You need everything you got and a little bit more, baby. Don't be giving. That's the reason why you're still halfway whacked right now. You don't give away so many pieces. You better get off the fragments so you may get a mind back. To walk around in silence and to keep from uttering a word of complaint can only be accomplished by submission to the Holy Spirit. Okay, here comes a big test right now. How many of you in this room did not complain last week? If your hand goes up, I'll have you struck dead. If it wasn't the weather, it was the traffic, it was some other particular thing, but we are prone to complain. Somebody say amen. Amen. But I believe what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us is something that will be miraculous. If there was somehow that we would believe God that all things work together for good, we would stop complaining. Even when, you know, someone cuts you off in traffic, even when the I-84 is backed up because they had a collision on the freeway, you know what? If you're stuck there in traffic, you got a cell phone with a Bible on it, read the Word of God. Don't let it be turned into something negative. But sometimes the thing about it was the people, they're obeying God's word, but here's the problem. You know, they're sitting out there and the Lord says, be silent. We must be willing to do something. Now, here's the thing. They're marching around the wall. I can almost guarantee you this. There's no account in the Bible that says this. But those walls were thick enough for a host of people to be standing on top of the walls. I can guarantee you there's some people on top of the walls that were heckling them and making fun of them. What are these crazy people doing? They're marching around these walls. These walls are so thick, and on their best day, they will never tear them apart. They're 12 feet thick, they're 22 feet high, and they think they're going to get these walls down, and they laughed and taunted. Here's the problem. The enemy will start taunting us, he'll start making fun of us, and we'll start listening to what he has to say. He'll say, "You'll never make it, you're not good enough, you're not strong enough, you're not spiritual enough to do anything to defeat his kingdom." I want to tell you right now, the devil is a liar. Second thing I want to tell you, what are you doing listening to him anyway? I want to tell you, when he says march around the wall, just keep on marching. Because it's only the second day. On the third day, keep on marching. But see, some of us will quit on the third, fourth, fifth day, or even on the sixth day. Say, "I've had enough of this walking. Ain't nothing happening. I'm going to do something different." That's the reason why you're so messed up right now. You didn't finish the course that God set up for you. Paul said this way, "I fought the fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith." Those things need to be in place. Well, consider this. The discipline of doing the things that do not make sense will determine whether or not we will receive our miracle. 1 Kings chapter 5, verses 9 through 14. Different little situation, but I think it's very applicable, so indulge me for a moment. "My servants shall bring down from Lebanon, and I will float the rafts." Is that the right one? Wait, well, anyway, go down to verse 13, because it's not, I think it's probably, we got a little misstep there. Go to the next few verses. Da, 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 da. No, that's the wrong one. Doesn't matter. I can summarize it. It was a situation that Naaman was confronted by the prophet. And the prophet told him, he says, "If you want to get your healing,
God wants you to go to the river, the Jordan River, and dip seven times. Nathan was hot as fish grease. Now, some of you don't know what that means. But if you're going to have fish, don't try to fry it in warm grease. Got to be hot grease. Otherwise, you'll have a indigestible mess on your hands. But the story was, he had leprosy. And Elisha didn't even accommodate him. He comes to his door. He says, oh, well, he's out in his chair. He says, oh, yeah, tell him to go wash in the Jordan River and dip in there seven times, and his leprosy will leave him. And he is mad as he could be. Because, number one, the Jordan River was a mess. It's all dirty, and he had a couple other selections for God to pick. See, our problem is we want to pick or explore options that were not made available to you on the menu. God says, Jordan River, you know, I'm really not into the Jordan River. I'd like to go to hot springs. Some place where, you know, some mineral springs. It just kind of bubbles up and you just think, it clears my sinuses. That's why you're still sick. You want to be your own doctor. The God has given you a prescription that will get you well. He says, and not only do I want you to go there and dip one time, I want you to dip seven times. And so he gets mad and he talks and he's just upset and he's ready to have Elisha killed. And his servant comes to me and he says, now if he told you to do something really, you know, flamboyant, would you have done it? Don't try to tell God. Don't try to interfere with God's plan for your life. Do what he tells you to do. But initially he says, the Bible says that he does this thing in spite of what his feelings were. By the way, your feelings will get you in trouble. Obedience is a key to inheriting the promise. There is something about the number seven that will invoke the blessings of God upon our life. And dipping seven times in water for Naaman was an opportunity for him to truly deal with his flesh driven by his preference. Do what he tells you to do. We're just about done. We're getting here quickly. There are seven priests that carry the trumpets before the ark of the word of God. It means this. There are seven things that we must put out in front as we face the enemy. And I've listed these seven things. I think they got them. Do you have them in one slide or not? I think they're all, yeah. Just list all, there's seven of them there. Those are the seven things that will keep the wall intact in your life. The seven things you must confront. I listed them here. Doubt has no power over us because every day is a new day. See, your doubt is based upon yesterday. But God has said, do it today. Fear is the one thing that we can put out there. Fear has no power because the word of God of the Lord is our rear guard. In other words, all these things go out in front of you, not behind you. They're in front of you. You have to overcome these things as you're going to inherit the promise. Number three, unbelief. You know one thing about unbelief is? Unbelief means at one time you did believe. But now your belief has been uprooted. And many of you sitting in this room today have had experiences that you've stopped believing. Because you prayed that somehow God would salvage your marriage and you still got a divorce. You prayed that you'd be healed from a situation and it's still in your body today. And so it's put you in that category that you, unbelief says, well, what if it doesn't happen? Some of you living on that street, let me move on real quickly. How about guilt? I know there's nobody guilty in here, so I should just skip that one. But I'm not. Guilt is based upon opportunities that we have had to do something differently, and we made the wrong choice, and now we feel guilty about the choice we made. And so we don't trust ourselves having heard from God because we're guilty, we're feeling guilty. And the devil will grind that into your spirit. Let me move on to the next one, shame. Yes. If all of our lives were put up on the screen, this room would be empty. There are things that you've done, I've done, said, whatever, that if they went up on the screen, we would be devastated by shame. Well, I only did it because of this particular thing. It doesn't matter. Shame is shame. Move real quickly to failure. Something about failure sometimes makes us not want to try anymore. And then last but not least, discouragement. Well, we must march around the walls that encase our promise with all the things that have hindered us behind us. Well, real quickly, these last few things I need to speak to you is we shout from the victory. Joshua 6:16, and we're just about ready to close this thing out. And the seventh time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpets, and Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." Now, here's an interesting piece. Shout what? Yay? Go God? Get out of our place? There is a shout in everybody. And it's not the same for you as it is for me. But it comes from the essence of our spirit, and we know the things that have held us down. But when we shout over that, we silence the enemy. He says, from this day forward, no longer will I be held hostage by this thing. It was a fearful thing in my life. My God is able. And there's a shout that rises out of your spirit. That's when you say no more. Well, practically speaking, because of the word of the Lord, Mark chapter 11, verses 22, 23. Let's put that up there real quick. I'm just about done. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Now here's one scripture that you can just put on. Mount Hood ain't going nowhere. You know, but I'll tell you the reason why we pick things like that. Is the Mount Hood ain't bothering you, but your finances are. They can ski all day long, you don't really care. But the fact that you're in a financial crisis at this particular point, that's your mountain. I want you to focus right now, everybody in this room, focus on the mountain that is in your way. It could be something spiritual. It could be something financial. It could be something that's an addiction you've had in your life. I want you to focus on that mountain right now. And I have a question to ask you. Is God able to deal with that situation? If you come up with anything other than yes, the devil's got your mind. Well, it goes like this. Our walls of hindrance will come down when we realize these things. There's four things. Number one. We must bring our problem to Jesus. Today, before we leave this room, I'm going to give people an invitation, not just for salvation, but I'm going to give you an invitation to bring your problem to Jesus. You can sit there in your seat and say, "I'm just going to keep this to myself. I'm going to be private about it." Go ahead. Dry up like a prune. Some of you need help. And I believe there's faith in the house to deal with that particular problem. Second thing is, these are all P's if you're writing them down. The next thing is rest upon the promise of God. You got a problem, you got a promise. What about the third thing you need to focus in on? We must realize that he is our partner. You're not alone. He said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Cast all your cares upon me because I care for you." Is that a guarantee or what? I feel so alone. I said, who are you walking with? I don't know, one of my wife's relatives
said this particular thing, and it stuck in my mind. She says, "Oh, you must be all alone." She says, "I'm never alone. Jesus is always with me." Lady, husband had died, children were gone. She says, "Oh, no." She says, no, baby, I'm never alone. Jesus is always with me. I want you to declare this, that from this day forward, you're never, ever alone. Because he said he'd never leave you or forsake you. And it's going to be a powerful thing. But here's the last one, and choir can make their way up here. We will prevail and give all the glory for the victory he has wrought through us. How many of you want to prevail today? Prevail means that we're going to conquer, we're going to come out on top. Well, then consider these things. Waiting can push your faith to the limit. And some of you said, "Well, I've been around this wall so many times, and I'm tired of waiting." Really? When Abraham got a promise from God, he got the promise when he was 75. He got the fulfillment when he was 100. Sound familiar? Who's counting? God's good on his word. Matter of fact, the more impossible it gets, the more glory he gets. So it's been too long. Too long for who? Not for God. You need to get on God's timeline. The best things in life are achieved through faithful obedience. I want to say to somebody right now, keep on walking. Keep on walking. Don't pay attention to those people that say, "Oh, you crazy, keep on walking like that." And you say, "I don't know how long this is going to go, but what you're standing on ain't going to stand forever. I'm going to keep on walking." Third thing was this. Faithfulness is long obedience that refuses to let go of that which was promised, regardless. Faithfulness is long obedience. And lastly, Job got it right. He said these words, and I don't think they were sarcastic at all. I don't think they were condescending or out of, you know, just trying to get back at God. But he said this: "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." It was my time to go, "That's okay. But I'm going to trust him. It's not going to be contingent on what I feel should be happening in any given moment." Everybody bow your heads right now. Everybody. Oh, Lord Jesus. If you could see or sense what I feel right now, what God wants to do. We need to reprise at the cross. Jesus came and loved me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm just going to walk up this aisle and walk back. But as I walk up this aisle, I'm interceding for people that are in this house that need divine intervention in their life today. Some of you may not be committed to Jesus. And some of you have been committed to Jesus for a long period of time. But the walls that have encased the promise of God for your life seem unbearable. I want to say something with every head bowed, every eye closed. There are people this week that told God they were done. They're tired of waiting. But somehow faith got in your heart. And you got up this morning, you got dressed, you drove to this place, and God has reinstalled in your life faith to believe that God can do it. Keep those heads bowed for a moment. I'm going to invite you to bring not part of the problem, but all of the problem to Jesus today. I want to invite people that are sitting in their seat today that pretty much have given up on God. You just came to church because maybe you felt your mama or grandma would want you to come. But I want to take that out of your mind and let you know that God knows that you made a decision that will supersede grandma's desire and will plug into his desire for you. In the name of Jesus, I break the curse off of your life. In the name of Jesus, I speak wholeness. I speak assurance. I speak salvation. I speak healing. In Jesus' name. Everybody that needs to respond to Jesus right now, stand to your feet right now. He's calling you right now. Stand up right now. Stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up. In Jesus' name, stand up, stand up, stand up.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.